During the week, I was reading this little book, and I just want to share this with you because it is so fitting to what God's been saying today. It's a little book by Malcolm Smith. Malcolm Smith, ever since we've been distributing books in 20 years, he's been a very good author, but we've never had many of his books. And they're all little ones like this, and we've got three or four on the shelves, and I thought, oh, it's a long time since I'd read anything about Malcolm Smith. Let's just have a quick read. And I was really, really touched, and I apologise for reading it, but I just cannot say it the way he says it, to the effect that it will have. And he's taking the example of Hosea. And I don't know if you know Hosea, but Hosea was one of God's prophets in the Old Testament. And he was a man who was watched by the nation, all the prophets. The nation was led by the prophets and the judges and the priest. So there were men very much up front and being watched by everyone. Well, God did a peculiar thing for Hosea. He said to him, he said, I want you to go and marry Gomer. Now, Gomer was, at that time, she was quite a loose-living woman and well-known for her lifestyle. And this seemed an awfully strange thing for a man of God to be connected with. But we've been talking today about obedience, and Hosea obeyed God, and he went and he married Gomer. And they had three children. And after the third child was born, during that time, Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. But he always forgave her and took her back. And eventually, after the third child was born, she left Hosea. And she went out into the streets. And she lived a life of prostitution. And she finally ended up in the slave market. This was terrible embarrassment for Hosea because everybody was watching him, and you can imagine he was not just the talk of the town but the talk of the nation. The tongues would wag and people would judge and misjudge his actions, but this is something that we're all guilty of, isn't it? But God wanted this to happen because he was trying to get across to Israel how he was hurt and wounded. He was married to Israel. And Israel constantly kept turning her back on him and running after other gods. And she refused to listen to him and obey him. And so God wanted to show them in a graphic picture something that would hit home to them what they were actually doing. They were doing what Gomer had done to Hosea. And we join it here where God speaks again to Hosea. And it's just a few paragraphs here. Hosea watched as it all took place. His heart was broken, overwhelmed with helplessness. What could he do? While the streets of the cities of Israel buzzed with the scandal, Hosea raised his children. Then God's direction came to him. He was to go and find Gomer. He was to confirm his love for her and receive her back into his house. Ouch! All kinds of questions must have flooded Hosea's mind as God spoke to him. Gomer had flaunted her unfaithfulness. She'd joined herself to God's enemies. She'd become the object of ridicule to every decent person. In this state of degradation, at ease in her moral and physical filth, would she even want to come home? Was there really any point in seeking her out and drawing the public's attention to the whole sordid affair all over again? Beyond any other consideration, where could any man find the kind of love that would embrace the bent frame of such a woman? Her lifestyle had made her old and haggard. She reeked with months of immoral living, her eyes reflecting the hate and bitterness in her heart. She'd deliberately chosen this way of life and rejected Hosea as her husband. Nevertheless, as Hosea chose to obey God's command, there came a supernatural influx of divine love that drove him to the streets to find his wife. Searching through the taverns and the cheap rooming houses, he finally heard of a slave auction where Gomer was today's special sale item. As he arrived at the auction, the prophet of God searched the crowd. A sea of immorality surrounded him with leering, greedy eyes. Then he saw her. The prophet of God watched her as she was brought to the platform for bidding. His eyes showed a perfect reflection of the love of God. Unconditional, based not on what she had done, but on who he was. Although by the law of Moses he could have demanded her to be stoned, Hosea's love was non-judgmental. Like Jesus, he'd not come to mock her or to bring public judgment against her. He was not in the milling crowd to condemn her nor to condone her sin, but to save her into a new life. A life that could only be described as a resurrection from the dead. If she'd looked up from her chains to scan the crowd, Gomer would have seen Hosea and believed he was there to ridicule her, to throw her unfaithfulness in her face. There was no place in her wildest dreams for a love he was expressing towards her. It couldn't even cross her mind that the person she'd so deeply wronged was there to lovingly buy her out of slavery and restore her as his bride. To the utter amazement of the crowd and Gomer's complete shock, Hosea bid for her. And the price was so low, it was obvious no one would bother to outbid him. In terms of coins, it was a pittance. The price of a wasted slave. But in reality, it cost Hosea everything that he had. Hosea began to walk towards the platform, known to all as God's man in Israel. The crowd parted to let him make his way to the auction block. In front of all, he ascended and took the woman who was his by marriage, and now by purchase. This is what just swung me. Gently, he unlocked her chains and embraced her. Wow. I'd never seen that. When I thought he took Gomer, I thought he would have got hold of her and just took her by the hand and took her away, hide her, do something with her. She belonged to him. But he didn't do it reluctantly. He did it with such lavish love. And in front of everybody who was condemning him, he gently unlocked her chains and he embraced her. By his embrace, Hosea was publicly, totally identified with Gomer's shame. Without any way of partaking in her sin, she in turn was totally identified with his righteousness, without having earned it or performed it. Then before the silent crowd, they walked away to his home. Hosea's claiming Gomer as his own gave her value. When he embraced her, he was saying that this woman was worth much, much more than the few shekels that he paid for her. When the most respected and honoured man in Israel, the one who uniquely represented God to the people, said in the most vivid and public fashion that he loved her, he was bestowing honour and worth on her that could never be given a cash price. Before the gaping crowd, he played out the great exchange. Through his public embrace, in one moment, he received all of her dishonour and swallowed it up in the love God had given him for her. And the moment he identified with her shame, she became identified with his honour and his dignity. Although totally identified with her sin, he didn't become dirtied with it. his worth in the eyes of the people which had been given to him by God, engulfed her rebellion and ended it. At that same time, she was caught up into his integrity and his love, and she was given a new life. They were one flesh. To despise and attack her now would be the same as despising and attacking Hosea. For she was what she was only because of the kind of person he was. I am what I am because of the person who bought me, who married me, who redeemed me with his life, and who loves me with an unconditional love. And though I get into the gutter, he'll seek me out, he'll embrace me, he'll wrap his arms around me, and he will never, ever let me go. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.